Welcome to the Tanakh Podcast. Today, Shoftim, Chapter 20. Last time we studied the shocking and horrific rape that transpired in the city of Giva. And we ended off with the husband of the concubine, sending pieces of her body around all the tribes of Israel and signaling to them about this terrible atrocity that had happened in one of the tribes of Israel. And we read in chapter 20, Vayetzu kol b'nei Israel v'tikahel ha'ida ki ish echad l'midan v'ad Be'er Sheva, as one man from Dan to Be'er Sheva, v'eretz ha'gilad el Hashem ha'mitzpah, they all gathered. We read in the next verse, Kol Shiftei Israel Bikal Am Elokim, as a community of God, Arba Meot Elef Ish Ragli Sholef Charev, 400,000 men. Understand that this is more than 10 times the amounts that we've been able to muster for any of the wars in the book of Shoftim. Suddenly, everybody comes out. Suddenly, everybody is, as we see in verse 11, Ke'ish Echad Chaverim. For this, everybody manages to come out to fight Binyamin and to avenge this atrocity. But here we get to the major question which strikes us when we read this chapter. The people approach God not once, not twice, but three times. And on the first two times, God says to them to go ahead. But they lose the war. They lose against Binyamin, the first time losing 22,000 soldiers, and the second time losing 18,000 soldiers, until they're successful against Binyamin. If they asked God, why did God lead them astray? If they asked God, then why did they lose the first two times and only succeed the third time? I'd like to give three answers to this question. Answer number one, from Rav Yaakov Maidan. The first time they ask God, it says, Vayakumu v'ya'alu Beit El. They go to Beit El. Well, what is in Beit El? Shouldn't they be going to Shiloh? What's in Beit El? Maybe it's a Beit El like Pesel Micha. Maybe they even went and asked Pesel Micha. They're asking inappropriately. In the second case, it says, Vaya'alu b'nei Yisrael, Vayifku lifnei Hashem ad ha'erev. In the previous pasuk, it says, Vayosifu la'aroch milchama b'makom asher aruchu sham b'yom ha'rishon. They just sort of repeat what they did. Again, possibly going to an illicit place. Only the third time does it say that they fasted, they brought sacrifices lifnei Hashem, before God. And it says, Vayishalu b'nei Yisrael pasuk chavzayin, B'nai Yisrael ask God, V'sham Aron Brit Elohim, they ask in front of the ark, Bayamim Ahem, in other words, they go to Shiloh, U'Pinchas Ben Elazar Ben Aharon Omed Lefanav Bayamim Ahem. You can't expect to get a legitimate answer from God if you ask it in an illegitimate place through illegitimate means. In other words, the first two times they asked God, it was illicit. It was done inappropriately. Only the third time they got the true answer from God. That's answer number one from Rav Yaakov Maidan. Answer number two from the Ramban. The Ramban talks about this in Bereshit chapter 19, and he asks the same question. How did God lead them astray the first two times? The Ramban's answer, they asked the wrong thing. The first time, they don't even question whether to go to war. They say, Mi ya'ale lanu b'tchila l'milchama im b'nei Binyamin? Who will lead us? And God says, Yehuda b'tchila. If you're asking me, well, Yehuda should go first. But they never raise the question about whether they should go. The second time, Vayivku lifnei Hashem, they first of all cry before God. And they ask God, Ha'osif lageshet lemulchama im b'nei Binyamin achi. Interestingly, that they add the word achi, my brother. Should I continue to go to war with my brother Binyamin? And God says, go for it. The third time, though, what do they say? First of all, the third time, they fast and they bring sacrifices. And what's their question this time? Their question is, Ha'osif od latzeit lemulchama im b'nei Binyamin. Should I continue to go to war with the tribe of Binyamin? Achi, my brother, im echdal. Or maybe it's a bad idea. says the Ramban. They assumed on the first and second time they were going to battle with Binyamin. The only question was how to do it. But the second time they raised the possibility of aborting the mission. And until they understand that this is a question that maybe they shouldn't be doing it, then what they've done is illegitimate. Now this is a nice answer, but first of all, the second time they ask, they sort of do ask that. And I guess the question here is, well, what's God playing games with them? Okay, so they asked the wrong question, so find some other way to get them to ask the question. God's playing games with them. So I want to give a third answer, which I've heard from many, many directions. But one of the people who speaks about it is Rav Benny Lau. And I think what we have to understand is that maybe we could argue that they lose the war for the first two times because essentially this war is illegitimate. It's illegitimate for a number of reasons. First of all, if we open chapter 21, we're going to see that no sooner have they finished this war and decimated the tribe of Binyamin, they regret it. Pasuk Vav, Vayinachamu b'nei Yisrael al Binyamin achiv. Vayomru nigda hayom shevet echam Yisrael. Ay vey, what did we do? We got rid of an entire tribe from Israel. The minute they've done this, they already regret it. Seems illegitimate. Point number two. If you look at the last verse, V'ish Yisrael shavu al b'nei Binyamin, the people of Israel went around the tribe of Binyamin, Ve'yakum lefi charev, they executed everybody, Me'ir matom ad be'ima, every city, every animal, ad kolan insa gam al harim an insa'ot shilchu ba'esh, and they put all of the cities on fire. The only place where we find anything similar to this is in the story of the Ir HaNidachat, a town which has become evil and gone to worship idolatry. But if you look there in that particular episode, which is mentioned in Devarim chapter 13, what does it say there in verse 15? V'darashta v'chakarta v'sha'alta heitev. You have to investigate and you have to explore and you have to ask penetrating questions before you do this. And if you find out v'inei emet nachon adavar ne'esta ha'toivah hazot b'kirbecha, if you find that this is really true, then you can go to war. What did they do in our case? Number one, let's take a look at the beginning of the chapter. They go and they ask Binyamin, what happened? And verse 4, chapter 20, verse 4, the Levi, the man who is the concubine's husband, says, Hagivata shele Binyamin bati, ani upilakshi lalun. Me and my concubine came to Giva in Binyamin to spend the night. True. Ve'akumu elav bale ha-giva. And all of the people of Giva came against me. That's not true. In the chapter it says, only b'nei Belial, evil people. Ve'asobu alai tabayit laila. And they surrounded the house at night. That's also not true. Oti dima laharog. They wanted to kill me. That's not true. Ve'pilakshi inu. And they raped my pilegesh. That is true. Although he sent her out to them. Vatamot, and she died. Ve'ochez ba'pilakshi. And then I grabbed my pilegesh and cut her up, etc. He's missed out half the story, that he pushed her out of the house, that they offered. The whole story is distorted. Okay, so they get his evidence. And this is the only evidence they get. So, I don't understand. It means that they're trigger happy, that they're going to war on the basis of false evidence, or a man who's trying to cover his own tracks. He's trying to cover for himself. Number two, or number three, I'm not sure what we're up to. The Ramban says that there are local courts. Maybe the people of Giva should have been judged by the court of Binyamin. Sometimes it's difficult when the whole nation surround and blame a particular tribe and invade another tribe's autonomy. Maybe the tribes of Israel should have insisted that the people of Binyamin would bring their own people to justice. But was this a national issue where everybody had to give a threat or else? So here, what do we see? We see that the entire war has been done illegitimately, and now maybe we understand why they failed the first 2 days. Because maybe they should have asked themselves, should we be fighting? So the third day, if they persist and they keep on going, and it's true that the people of Givah were evil, so God lets them win, because they're showing that they definitely want to do this. However, maybe God was sending them a message that they should have called the entire thing off. Let's remember, in chapter 21, they're going to regret all of this violence. Last point. This chapter is an upside-down chapter. If you look at the first time they ask God, they say, "Mi yale lanu bitchila lemilchama im b'nei Binyamin?" How should we fight Binyamin? And he says, "Yehuda bitchila." Well, turn to the very opening chapter of Sefer Shoftim. And how does it begin? It begins that along come, after Yehoshua died, when Israel say, "Who will go and fight the Kanani?" And what does Hashem say? Yehuda ya'aleh, Yehuda first. In both cases, Yehuda first. But in chapter 1, it's who should fight the Canaanites. And it's here, it's who should fight our brothers. If you look at the account of the war, it is so reminiscent of the battle against the Ai. This is an upside down, topsy-turvy chapter. Because instead of fighting our enemies, we're fighting our brothers. And maybe it's trying to say, if we'd done our job better in fighting our enemies, we wouldn't have been so susceptible to the values of the non-Jewish nations, of the Canaanite culture, and we wouldn't have got ourselves into this sinful situation in the first place. Whichever way, this story is again another one of those dismal, awful stories, as we will see next time. Next time we are actually going to finish Sefer Shoftim. We'll make a few comments about chapter 21 next time, and then some concluding remarks about the entire book of Shoftim and its message. See you tomorrow. Thank you.